You know, a couple of the financial talking heads were a bit too right-wingy for my liking. But hey, you know, they had it was very well rounded. It took into account all points of view. But they were very clear in reminding us that Jimmy Carter really wanted to make solar part of our reality during the 1970s, you know, oil and gas crisis. And how the funding that he set aside, you know, for alternative energy research was rescinded on day one of Ronald Reagan's time in office. And on day one, he had the solar panels removed from the White House that Jimmy Carter had installed there. And to this day, we still have never gotten funding for things like solar and wind energy, even up to the levels that we were paying in the 70s. And that's even shocking. You even think, you know, with inflation and whatnot, you know, we'd at least be matching it. But no, it's absolutely atrocious. And the Germans, geez, you know, the Germans can be very, very smart, and hence why Merkel was so strong with the concept of what they were going to do with the G8 this time around, and really, really come up with hard goals. But yet George Bush pouted and stomped his little bratty ass and got his way. Well, the Germans actually have set themselves a goal of having 20% of their energy produced by solar power. And not only are they on track to do that, but they could very well do 30% by 2020. They're so far ahead of the curve. Now, what they've done is actually subsidized it with guaranteed loans. And what do you have? You have farmers that, aside from their pigs and whatever else it is, you have farmers, and they did this with wind power too, are given heavy incentives to install large-scale solar generation plants. You know, so it's like another crop to them. But they're guaranteed a price for the energy that they produce for 20 years, which guarantees their ability to pay back the loans. Now, they interviewed this one farmer, and I believe that it cost about a couple of million dollars. I mean, this guy's producing like a gigawatt. Now, after the initial costs and paying off the loans, he only makes about $60,000 a year actual profit in his pocket for doing this. However, it's building this infrastructure. And even though Germans, who already paid some of the highest electricity prices in the world, ended up having theirs jacked up by 20%, something like 80% of the population supports the policy, because they understand that by continuing to burn all this coal, you're only robbing from your children, and that this is an investment in a cleaner future. And their government showed real leadership, which is something that we haven't had in the United States in a bloody long time. And it just shows what leadership can do. And they had some economist people going, well, it's too early to say whether it'll work. No. It's already working. The German people have come to the realization that this is something that needs to be invested in. And I lived in Germany for a while, and I was really impressed with how clean the place was. And you could see that even, you know, recycling was just completely, you know, it was just It was widespread. It was complete. And not only that, you still have deposit bottles there, which I think is something that really needs to come back, is deposit bottles. You know? Bugger all this, you know, curbside recycling is wonderful and all that, but what if you just paid for the bottles and you went and bought a case of soda, you went and bought a case of beer, and then when you were done, you brought the bottles back to the bottle shop when you got your next case. And what's really funny, after you pay the deposits, the beer and the soda's cheaper. Hey, imagine that. And you think about all the energy that's not wasted having transport it, recycle it. No, no, no. It goes back to the plant. They get cleaned. They get stripped. They get relabeled. And they get reused. Looks like we're out of time. So anyway, folks, thanks for being with us today. Before we run out of time, thanks to Bob for producing today, running with things as I kind of threw things around a little bit today. Thanks to our bloggers and our mods for everything that they do. Thanks to Scott Barry at B1 Louder Productions. Thank you to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. Go over there and drop him a dime. You got to do the right thing because he's the hardest working man in progressive liberal radio. And don't forget, tomorrow, very special, part one of two parts with Mr. Billy Shears. Check out shearsmusic.com. You know you want to. So as we say here, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Authorities in Minneapolis have discovered a fifth body under the twisted wreckage of the collapsed 35 West Bridge. Divers continue to search river waters for more victims. As many as 8 people are reported missing. Minnesota officials may have known as early as 1990 that the bridge was structurally deficient. That's according to a report by the Associated Press. The report also indicates that even with an increased number of structural inspections, repair work since then has been piecemeal. Experts have rated an estimated 12% of the nation's bridges, more than 75,000, as structurally deficient. Federal transportation authorities estimate current repair costs at $188 billion, which could take decades to complete. The House overwhelmingly approved a bill allowing the import of cheaper prescription drugs from Canada, Australia, and elsewhere. All imported medicines must be FDA approved and U.S. made. President Bush opposes the measure. South Korean authorities will conduct face-to-face negotiations with Taliban leaders today in Afghanistan. 21 church volunteers could be traded for Islamic militant prisoners. Several of the South Korean hostages abducted by the Taliban are reportedly ill. In southern Afghanistan, authorities are investigating reports that 200 to 300 civilians were killed late yesterday in NATO bombing raids. Earlier this week, the U.S.-led alliance announced it may use new strategies to prevent increased Afghan civilian deaths. In London, a suspect who was badly burned in a botched car bomb attempt at Glasgow Airport has died of his injuries. He was never questioned or charged by authorities. Opposition by some Democrats over increased oil industry taxes may endanger House passage today of a major energy bill. The House leadership wants to adopt the energy package before Congress begins its summer recess this evening. In Wisconsin, sentencing is scheduled today for a 16-year-old convicted yesterday of murdering his high school principal last year in a school shooting. The boy faces life in prison. In western Washington, a logging helicopter has crashed, killing all four people aboard and igniting a forest fire in that area. Early tomorrow morning, NASA set to launch a Mars probe designed to determine whether the red planet's North Pole had been ever conducive to life. Now this message.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have four convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our four branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
An unmanned Russian cargo ship successfully launched yesterday from Kazakhstan is expected to arrive at the International Space Station on Sunday. The vessel carries nearly 3 tons of supplies. Reuters reports the U.S. has decided to abandon an unsuccessful experimental spy satellite launched 8 months ago. Scientists say the satellite is expected to eventually lose power and burn up as it drops back to Earth. Last night, a ferry capsized in stormy seas off the coast of Sierra Leone. The bodies of 50 people have been recovered. Nearly 150 remain missing. European aerospace company EADS announced it has reached an agreement to sell Libya anti-tank missiles. The $230 million deal took 18 months to negotiate. Sony has recalled 350,000 CyberShot digital cameras because of the defective and possibly hazardous cases. The company will replace the case for free. Light sweet crude trading at $75.90 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. That's down 71 cents a barrel. Gold trading at $681 even. That's up $4.40. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 71 points at 13,391. NASDAQ down 19. S&P 500 down 11. More at our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, I'm back here with Wednesday today. How you doing today? It's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I mean, not the humble Joe, host Joe. Go, guys, I'll say it right for crying out loud. I'm your humble host, Joe Vecchio. And wake the hell up, everybody. Time to get up out of bed. Time to do some calisthenics. Time to wake up to the reality of what's going on in this country today. I'm glad to be back, and there's a lot of stuff going on. There was a reason why I wasn't on yesterday, and a reason why I am on today, and I'll get into that in just a minute. I do want to say hello to everybody out there, first in the Hit On Radio Network chat room, and I'm glad to be back here looking at you guys again, because, you know, I missed you the last day. I missed you the last day. I missed you. I'm a sentimental kind of guy. I missed you all. But the truth of the matter is that that certain things have happened at work, and I was made to basically change shifts because of it. But before I do that, I want to talk. There was something that I was listening in on the Quality Network News there, and a bit about the dog wagging, the dog tail wagging, and I thought, you know, look, all due respect to the scientists in Italy, and I'm sure they do have some other important things to do, but. It seems rather irrelevant, don't you think? That you know, whether a dog's tails wag on the right when they're happy and on the left when they're not happy. I really don't understand the value of that. What I was thinking of was an old George Carlin bit where he would do these little news bits, and one of them was, a scientist in Sweden have discovered today that they have been able to make mice fart by holding them upside down and tapping them on the stomach with a pencil. And I'm like, okay. And that's what I was thinking when I was hearing that news. Oh, the dials wag on the right if they're happy and not on the left if they're dead. Okay. Let's have some more espresso, Giovanni. Hey! We did our research this week. All right. Oh, that made me. I'm glad I needed that. Hang on a second. I had to get some water. You know, Chicago's got really good tap water, by the way. Chicago's got excellent tap water. But no, here's what happened at work, and I think I mentioned it on my last show, but if not, if you're just joining in, and why the hell are you just joining in? What's been wrong with you that you haven't been listening to the show? That's your problem, huh? You got a problem? Is that doesn't matter for you? You know, you got the no respect. That's your problem, huh? You got the no respect. But no, what happened was, I kind of had it out with my supervisor for a couple of reasons. And the big one is that she insists, mind you, on playing rap music. Yeah, I did mention it because I remember I went off on a rant about rap music. And I'm not saying that nobody should listen to it, and I'm not even going to make a comment about, you know, the lyrics and all that stuff. But I just don't want to have to hear it. Okay, I don't want to have to hear it, and I get forced to listen to it. Now, anybody who doesn't like to listen to music or likes to listen to peace and quiet, or just doesn't like to listen to a certain style of music, imagine being forced to listen to it every day. Imagine being forced when you go into work to listen to Barney, because you know it's not just that it's rap music, which is bad enough. It's top 40 rap music, which means they're playing the same six or seven songs over and over and over again every single hour. And that's really, really annoying. I mean, it's bad enough with the songs that I like, with songs that I hate. But could you imagine if say, I was a supervisor and went into the place every day with a CD of Barney and played it on repeat for 6 hours every night? How the hell would you feel? And I'd been stressed out about a lot of different stuff, and I really blew up at her. I really blew up at her, and I let her know exactly what I felt about her and her music and her attitude towards it. And I got into a little trouble over it, and they decided that it's best for me to switch from the second shift over to the day shift just so that we can avoid that. And So I called up, and that was like on Monday. I was in early. I went to work as usual in the afternoon, and they said, you know, just go home and come back tomorrow. And I did. I went to work yesterday, but I called Bob and I let him know what's going on. And he said, okay, you know, we'll run reruns, or we'll have John Fox fill in and whatnot. And that's cool. So, you know, and I figured we had it covered. And then I go down there to work today. And I have to get up, mind you, because it's a day shift and because it takes about an hour or so to get down there. And I like to get there early. I'm not the type of person who likes to be late, even though I am from time to time. I don't like it, but it happens. I got to get up at around 4:30 in the morning. So I get up this morning. Well, actually, I got up a little late. The alarm goes off at 4:30. That doesn't mean I wake up at 4:30. I'd like to leave here at around 5:30 in order to catch the bus, and I usually get there between 6:30 and 7 sometimes. 7 is when we start. So, you know, I like to have plenty of time. I don't like to feel rushed and all that stuff. I like to be very relaxed. And so I go down there, and there's, like, no work. They said, Joe, why are you here? And I said, well, you know, there's work, isn't there? And he said, well, no, there's no work. There's no work today. Did anybody call you last night? I said, no. And I double-checked on my phone when I got in here. There were no phone calls. And, of course, the person who was supposed to be calling me is the person I've been fighting with. So I'm going to call back when I finish the shows today, when I finish these couple hours, I'm going to call the work back and let them in. You know, I was not called. And I really don't appreciate that. And, you know, my attitude toward the supervisors, look, I was unprofessional for all of about 20 minutes or so, however long it took my rant to go off on. But she's been unprofessional. She's been unprofessional since she took over the shift, as far as I'm concerned. Look, you know, there's always situations when people listen to music. I worked in shops where they had to have a different radio station every single day because everybody wanted to listen to their own music, and their own kind of music. And I'm like, look, headphones, damn it. Okay, now this was in the day where there weren't quite so many easy music listening devices. I mean, they did have cassette players and stuff like that. You know, but the point is, People want to, you know, in the workplace, and I'm sure everybody who works, especially like in a manufacturing plant, everybody likes to listen. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people like to listen to the type of music they like to listen to. That's fine. My wife was the same way. She loved to have a radio or something on constantly in the background. I don't. I don't like to listen to anything. If I want to listen to music, I play music in my head because I've got a good memory for songs. But I wouldn't put my type of music on anybody. I like a lot of different kinds of music, and I like some pretty strange stuff. Or at least as far as, you know, mundane working people are concerned. But I wouldn't put that on anybody else, and it's really wrong to. And especially, you know, especially hip-hop music, which to me is just garbage. It has nothing to do with the lyrics. It has nothing to do with the ethnicity of it. It's just repetitious, and it's boring, and it's stupid. And somebody, who was it? Somebody else pointed out to me the other day. It's selfish. All the music is about what I got, you know, and what I want to get. So, you know, if they want to play a quality of time, I'll bring a damn Barney CD in there. And I'll bring a CD full of other children's music, perhaps. How would you like 6 hours of A, B, C, D, F, G? Or how's the alphabet song go? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. How the hell would somebody like that? For 6 hours a day, knowing that if you say something about it, you get in trouble. And that when you bring it up, they're like, well, we're playing the radio anyway. That's all there is to it. That's a BS attitude, and I won't stand for it. And somebody said, well, how can you yell at your supervisor like that? You know, don't you know? Look, you know, I've never played that damn game. And yes, it's cost me a lot, but you know what? Damn it, at least I stood up for myself. A lot of people just accept it. If stuff like this goes on at your workplace, and you want to have a say about it, give me a call. 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. Or our toll-free number is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. If you can call the 304 number, do that. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Hey, remember that one? That was big in the 60s, back when gas was like 30 cents a gallon, a house 22 grand, cigarettes a quarter a pack. But the packs came with a warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer. It proved to be right. Music's changed, and so have prices. Gas is almost $3 a gallon. A decent house costs a quarter of a million, and a pack of cigarettes is about $5. But now, there's another cancer warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Radon causes lung cancer, whether you smoke or not. Radon is an invisible, odorless gas that seeps into your home from underground. The only way to know if you have high levels of radon in your home is to have your home tested. The U.S. Surgeon General recommends it.
Call 1-800-693-5343 or visit radon.oznet.ksu.edu. Sponsored by KDHE and the Kansas Radon Program at K-State.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio. Voice of the working man, thinking man. Voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in if you want to call in and get in on the action is 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. Or you can call the toll-free number 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. 877-443-2366. I'm kind of getting. I wasn't expecting to do the show today. Like I said, I was heading off of work, and it's one of those miserable, cold, wet, drizzly rain. Actually, not even drizzly. It's a rainy day here in Chicago. Just really, really nasty. And we keep wondering when the weather's going to turn. Yeah, it's still going to rain, but at least it'll be a warm rain. It was a cold rain, and I despise cold rain. And there's just pollen crap all over the floor now too. Oh man, and you know my roommate loves days like this. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. He loves it when it's wet and nasty out. He's lived in San Francisco for a while though, so I guess he's kind of used to that. But no, I can't stand it. I like sunny skies, and I like 70 something degrees. I don't like it when it's too hot. When I first got here to Chicago, they were like 100 degree temperatures, and I'm like, holy crap, who ordered this? This is not what I expected. This is absolutely not what I expected at all. But anyway, I'm kind of tired because, I got up at 4:30 and I took a trip downtown. That takes about an hour or so, an hour commute, and an hour back. I stopped and I got something to eat on the way. I got some food at McDonald's. I don't generally like to go to the corporate places for that, but, freaking McDonald's. I didn't say that. I blocked myself. So here I am, and I'm, by the way, I will be filling in for John Fox today as well, too, because, John's got other things to do, unfortunately. Just like a lot of us here at the Head On Radio Network, this is not, this is not our regular job. This is something we would like to be our regular job. But we do the best we can with the time that we have and with the skills that we have and with the money we have or lack thereof. And, the whole thing at work for me was all part of a whole stressful times. I mean, I am moving. We found a new place, and I don't have any money for a move, but I have to move because of crazy landladies. And, with all that going on, I couldn't even go into work and just relax at work and do my job. Because, the reason why I hang around the job so much is because I like the job I like the job itself so much. Because it's very quiet, when there's not music playing, but it's very kind of relaxing, mindless work. I just scan images, and there's more that I can do. And as always, the company does not really recognize the talent that I have. We use, we use scanning software, and I've learned more about the scanning software in the few months that I've been there than I think people that have been there for 5 or 6 years, because I really don't care to learn. Me, I'm always trying to figure stuff out. There are easier ways to do things, ways to make. The job better and more functional. And that's really in all my life, there are really two things that I excel at. And one is figuring stuff out. And the other is organizing stuff. Actually, I make a very good middle management type. If this was like in the 60s or 70s, I'd be like, you know, a manager at a department store or something like that. Something that's not really, you know, an executive. I'm a sergeant. You know, I have a sergeant's mentality. But, you know, this is not the 60s and 70s. This is the aughts, or whatever they're calling the 2000s. And that means that you're going to, if you're not a corporate executive, you're going to get screwed over as much as possible. And that's what happens, not just with me, but with everybody else. And I don't have to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have to tell you this. You live it every day. And like George Carlin mentioned one time, he said, look, I'm not here to tell you new stuff. I'm here to remind you of things. You already knew it was funny. You just forgot to laugh at it. That's all. And it's my job to remind you of stuff. Because you already knew it. You just forgot to be angry about it. That's all. And I make $9.63 an hour, ladies and gentlemen. $9.63 an hour. And I don't get 40 hours a week, just quite. So, you know, it really is time for me to leave, but I'll be frank, I've just been either lazy about it or I just haven't had the gumption to go out and try to find something else. Because I really do want to find something that just pays better. Excuse me. Just water. Just water, ladies and gentlemen. No soda this morning. I got to try to cut down. But you all know what the score is. I don't have to tell you out there if you're a regular listener. You know what the score is. You're all nodding your heads in agreement. Work sucks. And it doesn't suck because it's hard. And it doesn't suck because, you know, the fact that you have to do something that you know, you would rather be, you know, staying at home watching TV and eating Cheezos or something. You know, no. Work sucks because you get treated like crap. That's why work sucks. And work sucks because you're not appreciated in the job that you do. That's why work sucks when work sucks. Someone mentioned something to me the other day, or I saw it somewhere, I forget where I got it, but it was like, you don't quit your job, you quit your boss. And so on night shift, I had a supervisor who cared more about listening to her damn music than she did about, you know, what was going on at the job. And I'm not perfect. You know, look, I make mistakes. You know, I'll mess up from time to time, and I've got a temper. I've got my personality problems. I'm not sitting here saying I'm perfect, but I'm not a supervisor. And you know, I'm at the point with this company where I've been kind of debating about whether or not I have a long term career. And my roommate says you're not going to have a long term career with these guys, and he's probably right. Not because they would want to get rid of me, but because, you know, it's not the type of thing that you have for a career. And it's certainly not what I want to do for a living. I'd like to do the radio show for a living. That would be very nice if something were to turn up like that. I would be very happy. And I don't need that much money. And by the way, speaking of people who make that much money, what the hell is Rush Limbaugh doing still on the air? Wasn't he playing this Barack the Magic Negro song? Which is far worse than what Ima said. Why is this racist scum still on the air? Why is Neil Bort still on the air? Why is Sean Hannity still on the air? Why are all... Because they're, you know, as bad as Imus was, and he was bad in a frat boy type of mentality, these guys are far worse because they do mean harm to people when they say stuff. So why is he still on the air when Imus is gone? And don't talk to me about cleaning up the hip-hop music. Yeah, then, you know, that's fine. You know, people deal with that in their own time. But don't sit there and try to play it off like, you know, well, you know, because that's bad, then we can say any racist remark we want. No, it isn't. And quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing it. And look, as I've said before, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, let me tell you something, and I'll say it straight again. When I say something on my show, I'm not saying it for shock effect. I'm not just going to do something to get ratings. I mean, people listen to my show enough as it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, people do listen to my show, and they like my honesty, and they like the fact that, you know, I speak from the heart. And the truth of the matter is, when I say something on my show, I believe it. I may be completely and totally wrong. You may disagree with it, and I'm not saying you have to agree with it, and I'm not saying that I'm right all the time. But when I say it, you know that I mean it. I don't have to lie to you. It's not necessary. But in order to push their agenda, in order for them to keep doing what they do, you know,
the free employee such a major.
All right, we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show once again. I'm not the humble host. By the way, and they don't need to look any to the when I work the afternoon shift and when I work the day shift. Because when I work the day shift, I get up early in the morning, and then when I get home, it seems like I have to go to sleep right away. But it always seemed like when I was on the afternoon shift, I have time before work and after work. Go figure. Like I said, I don't like to rush. I like to have plenty of time to get myself ready and to get myself prepared. You know, I've got a routine. If I can grab a paper in the morning, the Red Eye, which is the free daily paper from the Chicago Tribune, they're wondering why they're losing news, losing money. Then I'll grab it. But actually, you know, the free paper doesn't, you know, that's not really their problem. What their problem is that the news sucks and people don't believe it anymore. That's what their problem is, if that's what they're worried about. I mentioned this some time ago. You know, after a while, you know, look the Soviets had a lot more control over the media than the American corporate industry does, okay? A lot more control. Pravda and Izvestia were pretty much it. Pravda meaning truth, Izvestia meaning news, right? And how did that term go? There was no news in the truth. There was no truth in the news. That's how people used to think after a while. So even with that kind of control, after a while, people can smell the BS when it's out there. People can see right through it. And that's what's been happening with the news. People are seeing right through it. No wonder they're going to Craigslist for ads or just for rants and raves or to blogs. And didn't they just do a report recently where they were showing people who watch Fox News, for example, are like the least informed people in the world, in the country, and that they know less about what's going on? And that's because, of course, you know, Fox is basically corporate Republican propaganda. It's not news. And, you know, their ratings have been declining. And their ratings are higher because they don't mind being a lot more sensationalist. And people like that. People like, you know, the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads, right? Hang on a second. But people get sick of it after a while. You can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time. But you can't fool all the people all the time. No matter how stupid they are. And we finally reached that point with the news these days. And I am so sick of Maureen Dowd. How many people out there are sick of Maureen Dowd? That gossip columnist. Good Lord. And other people are going on and on and on about John Edwards and his haircut. Who cares? God damn it, who cares? 9 soldiers were killed the other day in Iraq by a car bomb. Where's Maureen Dowd writing about that? Yeah, he's got to have a haircut. Oh, he's so boring, darling. But Al Gore was so boring. We can't have him as president. He's so boring. Oh, dear. I'm Maureen Dowd. Why don't men like me? Why don't men like me? I'm Maureen Dowd. I write a column. That's the money. Crap. It's all crap. And I'm tired of it. And they wonder why they're losing circulation. And they wonder why they're losing advertising revenue. Look to themselves. Don't blame other people. On the sideshow today. Avedon Carroll, and I'm kind of working with her to do a sideshow moment of the week of sorts, because Avedon Carroll is one of the better voices out there in the blogosphere, one of the best written. And she came across an article in the Free Press, which is a hardcore left-wing newspaper. By the way, the Free Press had an article about Dennis Kucinich, Representative Kucinich, putting up articles of impeachment for the president and Mr. Cheney. And, of course, I'm all in favor of that. As I said before, I may not be necessarily be supporting him for president of the United States, but I happen to think Dennis Kucinich is a great congressman, and we need more people like him. But apparently, you know, what some of us have pretty much known for sure without evidence, just because we know how these people operate, is being more or less confirmed by new reports and new investigations. And it's an article here from the Free Press called The GOP's Cyber Election Hit Squad, and it's written by Steve Rosenfeld and Bob Petrakis. Oh, excuse me. And the opening argument is, did the most powerful Republicans in America have the computer capacity, software skills, and electronic infrastructure in place on election night 2004 to tamper with the Ohio results to ensure George W. Bush's re-election? The answer appears to be yes. Well, duh. No offense to the writers who I'm sure, you know, worked very hard on this article, is very well researched, very well put together, but you know what? We knew this already. Because the Republican Party, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, the Republican Party hates the democratic ideal. They hate the idea of self-rule. They hate the idea of rule of law. The only rule they like is the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. Or, as others put it, those who own the country ought to run it. That's the way they are. Now, me, I'm like, look, if we have free and fair elections, and if we want to elect an idiot, at least be sure we're electing an idiot. Okay? I mean, you know, you can make the argument that the country's gone stupid by electing somebody, fine. But if the country hasn't even elected the guy, then that's completely different. That's completely different. And I'm not saying that you know, people need to go out and vote for Democrats and people need to go out and vote for this candidate or that candidate. No, no. You vote for who you want to. And for whatever reason you want to. I don't care if you go into the thing and you flip a coin. What I care about is that when you do cast the vote, that it's counted properly. Excuse me. That's what I care about. It's none of my business. Once you get into that booth, who you pull the lever for or who you put your mark next to. That's not my business. That's not my concern. If you want to vote for George Bush and you're stupid enough to do that, that's your problem. But I want a system where when you do vote for George Bush, that vote counts. Period. But the Republicans don't want that. They would rather we did away with elections altogether. But really what they would prefer to do, since we have this great democratic tradition, small d democratic, since we have this great democratic tradition in this country of electing our own leaders, they want to give the pretense of free and fair elections while they steal all the power for themselves. And if you look at what George W. Bush and his administration does and how they go about doing things, Mr. Bush with his signing statements basically saying, if I don't like the law, I'm going to break it. Period. But, you know, in the end, it really should get down to the ballot box. If enough people get fed up, and, you know, eventually these guys go too far, because too far is the only place they can go, because they don't know when to stop. But when they go too far, they should be punished for it at the ballot box. And one of the things, you know, the whole thing about Gonzalez and the firing of these attorneys, a lot of it was because the Republicans wanted to pull a dirty trick squad just before the 2004 elections. They weren't really quite able to do that. Just before the elections, what they wanted to do was have all their little federal attorneys get up there and say, oh, we're investigating voter fraud here. And either bring frivolous charges up or just make a lot of noise about it to make Democrats look bad. And under the Republican administration, under these Republican judges, Democrats have been 7 times more likely to be investigated than Republicans. 7 times! Now, I'm not, you know, and again, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Democrats are pure and they should never be investigated. Of course not. But to say that they're 7 times more corrupt than the Republicans is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And I'm sorry, but does anybody not believe that Karl Rove isn't behind all of this? Is there anybody stupid enough who's paying attention anyway? Anybody who's stupid enough to think that this guy doesn't have his finger all over this? Doesn't have his hands all over this? We'll talk more about this. We're almost through with the first hour. Then I'm going to call in 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON if you want to call the toll-free number. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Advertising on the Cup of Joe Radio Show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe Show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's C-U-P-J-O-E.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, C-U-P-J-O-E.com, and let Internet Radio Ads work for you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II, that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty, and you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Ballad of John and Yoko. I love that song. I like John Lennon. John Lennon was such a good, I love John Lennon. Such a great writer. Such a great personality. Not always right. You know, maybe a little naive, perhaps. But his heart was always in the right place. And we miss him. We miss when there's people like him. It always seems like the good people die. You know, only the good die young, it seems. And before their time. I'm sorry, guys. I'm depressed about a lot of different stuff, and I'm trying to get over it. You know, the stuff going on at work and me having to move and all that. And it's just a tough life. You know, and here I am kind of radio blogging everything. Because, you know, but it does fit in. Because my roommate Tommy, he's a real nice guy, Chicago native, like I've mentioned. And I say, why does things suck now, Tommy? And he says, well, maybe they'll get better when, you know, we get these jerks out of office. But you know, it's going to take years. I wrote an article many years ago called The Meaning of Victory. And basically the meaning of victory is that, you know, by getting rid of these guys, we finally have a chance to actually clean the work, to clean things up, to get that, to get back to work and to clean things up and to move things along. Because here we are, we're watching these guys throwing piles of crap in a pit, and we know that we have to get the crap out of there, but we're not even allowed to do it just yet. The problem is that we're dealing with some very, very serious issues here. I mean, there's petty stuff and there's really big stuff, and global warming is about as big as you can get, because that affects all human life on the planet. I have no worries for the planet Earth. The planet Earth will figure something out once we're gone. Okay? But I don't want to be gone. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to have, you know, some other perhaps spacefaring civilization come out here and say, you know, what the hell was this? Looks like we had a whole bunch of people lived here, a whole bunch of things lived here. Let's see if we can find some records. Oh, here we go. Here's some stuff. My God, what a bunch of lunatics. What the hell happened? And, you know, things could just be so much better. Pardon me. I wrote on my blog, and by the way, my blog is cupojoe.blogspot.com, cupojoe.blogspot.com. I wrote on my blog, so, you know, I don't expect life to be fair all the time. I don't expect life to be fair, period. But I think that if we just put a little effort into it, we can make it a little less unfair. You know, there's no reason for it to be as bad as all that. There's no reason for me to get so stressed out about work and about, you know, the what's going on with my landladies that it causes me to blow up at somebody. There's no reason for that. You just say, well, shuck it off. Well, you know, yeah, that's part of it too. But, you know, there's also, why are we making the world such a miserable place? And one of the commenters on my blog made a very good point. He said, you know something? Life isn't fair or unfair. Life is arbitrary. Life just does, you know? The universe just works the way it does. It's humans that are fair and unfair. It's humans. And that's what we got to fix. Excuse me, let a little belch there. And what's really sad is that I still have it better than billions of people worldwide. With all the problems I have, with all the things that are going on in my head and with my work and with my living situation, I still have it millions of times better. Wasn't there a Phil Collins song some years back called Another Day in Paradise? And he's absolutely right. You know, I sit there and I see homeless people and beggars on the streets in Chicago. And you know, Chicago's not the only place that has them. I mean, I saw them in Atlanta. I saw them all over the place. Okay, people with signs up, you know, will work for food or just please help. There's a guy with a dog who sits usually on the corner of LaSalle and the Adams. And I think, you know, there but for the grace of God, right? But that doesn't mean I necessarily have to like the situation I'm in, but it does make me feel sad that as bad off as I feel I have it, there are people who have it a lot worse. There are people who have it a lot worse. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, and that's what I talk about when I talk about working people and working people's rights. I've said it before and I'll say it again, and I use that line a lot too. I've said it before and I'll say it again, that the problem with the workers' unions in this country in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s and whatnot was that they were only focusing on American workers. They didn't recognize the fact that by not concentrating on international workers. And eventually, of course, once the technology was there for cheap movement of goods or for electronic transference of service, because now you can do a lot of stuff electronically, there are jobs, there are working people in India and China and places like that who are working for a lot far less money. Now, generally, I'd say more power to them because, you know, I'm all for working people. I'm for the people in India, and I'm for the Chinese, and I'm for the Vietnamese, and I'm for the North Koreans and the South Koreans, and I'm for everybody. I'm for everybody. But the reality is that working people know no country. They get used by their country sometimes. They get used by corporations more often, and corporations know no country. But the workplace knows no nation. Working people are working people. They want the same things regardless of where you're at. Yeah, there are cultural differences. I'm not going to argue, sit there and argue that. But the point of the matter is that they want the same basic things that we want. They want to go to work. They want to support themselves and their family, and they want to leave a better life for their children. Period. Period. And until we recognize that, we will always have problems with multinational corporations. Until we actually do have a truly global economy with a single global currency, although it doesn't have to necessarily be that way, but so long as there's global labor standards, global regulations, so where if a company is going to move, they're going to move for the right reasons. And as I said before, I don't have a problem with companies, say Ford, wanting to go and build a plant in Germany because it's cheaper for them, it's more efficient for them to build cars over there and sell them to Germans in Germany or to other Europeans. I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with Mercedes building a plant here in the United States because it's more efficient for them to have the plant here than it is to build it there and ship it overseas. It's better for them. That, to me, that's good business sense, okay? But it's not good business sense to travel around the world finding the least amount of regulation so you can do the most damage and the cheapest labor so that a few people on top can make gobs of money. Excuse me. And everybody else just makes squat and fights for scraps. That's just wrong. If you go out and you spend, you know, you do your job and you work for a living, then you shouldn't have to worry about having enough money to pay the rent and pay the bills. And that's exactly what the situation I'm in. That's exactly the situation that millions of you are in out there. And that's why when I tell you, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I'm not telling you you're anything you don't already know. And some of you out there have been suckered by the Rushes and the Limbaughs and the Hennedys of the world to sit there and talk about rugged individualism and, you know, if you don't have the millions, you don't haven't earned it, blah, blah, blah. That's a bunch of crap. It always has been crap, and it always will be crap. And that's that. And that's that for the show today. For the Cup of Joe show, anyway. The Cup of Joe radio show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network. Bob Kincaid running the floor today. Cup of Joe radio show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Fox Stuff with John Fox is coming up next, and I'll be filling in for him. And hey, get back to work.
Come eat a dish of crisps out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of tin. Or would you rather have him just fill me up with bread? Feed me a fork of Frank and one more helping of Dick. Lay it on nice and thick. Open a can of Dan and make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no money, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Authorities in Minneapolis have discovered a fifth body under the twisted wreckage of the collapsed 35 West Bridge. Divers continue to search river waters for more victims. As many as eight people are reported missing. Minnesota officials may have known as early as 1990 that the bridge was structurally deficient. That's according to a report by the Associated Press. The report also indicates that even with an increased number of structural inspections, repair work since then has been piecemeal. Experts have rated an estimated 12% of the nation's bridges, more than 75,000, as structurally deficient. Federal transportation authorities estimate current repair costs at $188 billion, which could take decades to complete. The House overwhelmingly approved a bill allowing the import of cheaper prescription drugs from Canada, Australia, and elsewhere. All imported medicines must be FDA approved and U.S. made. President Bush opposes the measure. South Korean authorities will conduct face-to-face negotiations with Taliban leaders today in Afghanistan. 21 church volunteers could be traded for Islamic militant prisoners. Several of the South Korean hostages abducted by the Taliban are reportedly ill. In southern Afghanistan, authorities are investigating reports that 200 to 300 civilians were killed late yesterday in NATO bombing raids. Earlier this week, the U.S.-led alliance announced it may use new strategies to prevent increased Afghan civilian deaths. In London, a suspect who was badly burned in a botched car bomb attempt at Glasgow Airport has died of his injuries. He was never questioned or charged by authorities. Opposition by some Democrats over increased oil industry taxes may endanger House passage today of a major energy bill. The House leadership wants to adopt the energy package before Congress begins its summer recess this evening. In Wisconsin, sentencing is scheduled today for a 16-year-old convicted yesterday of murdering his high school principal last year in a school shooting. The boy faces life in prison. In western Washington, a logging helicopter has crashed, killing all four people aboard and igniting a forest fire in that area.